Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Because this question was posed to over 17,000 people worldwide, and they answered it. And here's the question. Does your religion define you as a person? Now, think about that for a moment. Does your religion define you as a person? My guess is that probably most listening to the program today would likely say it does. But in fact, just 35% of the world's population from over 23 countries surveyed, that's 35%, only 35% believe, in fact, that it does. Now, if you're listening to the Stand in the Gap Today program today, you're part of that 35% or so, because you would say that probably you are a religious person. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, because I want you to answer that question a little bit later when I ask our co-host today that very question themselves. But so I don't want you to turn off the program today, because based on this survey information that we want to share, you, if you're in that category, are in big trouble. Again, and get this. According to the same latest world survey on religion by Ipsos, that's the largest international research agency out there, 49%, basically one half, of the world's population believe that religion does more harm in the world than it does good. Now, that means that half of the world's population thinks that you, if you are a religious person, by your presence, they would say that you are more of a threat to society than any good that you could hope to do. So this brings up major questions that we're going to deal with today on this program, such as, what is the definition of religion? Because you got to start somewhere. We're going to talk about that. And in fact, we're going to answer this question. Would the world, in fact, be better off without religion? And of all these things being true, are we very close to the end of religious freedom in America that we hold so dear? And then lastly, we're going to talk about what's the Bible say about religion, and particularly religion in the end days. So with that roadmap for today's program, I want to welcome you to this Thursday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined today by Gary Dahl and our special recurring Thursday guest, constitutional attorney, historian, and biblical scholar David New, joining us today from the Golden State of California. So ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to the program, and there are many places we could go. It's always a tough selection process of what piece of news we're going to highlight on this program, but we've chosen this topic of religion today because this latest research, frankly, is, well, it's enlightening, but kind of scary as well. I can't say that I am shocked personally, but it does underscore a massive change occurring worldwide that is altering, not just will alter, but is altering our lives as we've known them. Now, Matt, Dave, and Gary, we haven't discussed this ahead of time. The three of you do not know that I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, three of them, and I want you to answer them just as if you would have gotten the survey from Ipsos or Pew or anybody else who does research. And listeners, if you're listening today, answer this question to yourself as we go along, because this will kind of fit in with the program. Dave, let me start with you first. So you can't ask any clarifying comments. You don't give any of that, because those who took the survey didn't have it. Just straight up as the question is asked. David, does your religion define you as a person? Do you strongly agree, somewhat agree, somewhat disagree, or strongly disagree?
Well, I definitely would be a strongly agree.
Okay, all right, strongly agree. Your religion defines you. Gary, let me ask you the same question. Does your religion define you as a person? Strongly agree, all the way down to strongly disagree. What is it for you?
In the proper sense of the definition,
you
the
can't,
term...
You can't go there. You can't go to the definition yet, Gary.
Can't do that.
I'm sorry. Straight up.
I'm not going to give the definition, but
no.
In the right sense of the definition of the term, yes, it does.
But you put qualifiers in there, Gary. So I'm gonna mark it down. No qualifiers. Dave, let me go to you. Second question. Would you define yourself as being a religious person? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Gary, would you define yourself as being a religious person?
Yes.
All right. Dave, another question for you. Would you define yourself as a spiritual person? Yes or no?
Yes.
Gary, would you define yourself as a spiritual person? Yes or no?
Si, senor. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you've answered those questions in your own mind, too. But Gary gave away a little bit because he hesitated. He said, it depends what you mean. Well, we're going to talk about what the definition is in the next segment. But I put this before you right now because when these 17,000 people across the world were asked the question, they had no definition. I don't know what they meant by religion, but that's how they answered. Same thing on religious and spiritual. The background for the report of which we're basing this program today is an Ipsos study released October the 11th. They are the world's largest independent market research company, controlled and managed by research professionals. These are their words. Founded in France, 1975, they are now the largest worldwide research group, and they do their research with the intention of influencing international companies in how they should brand their products, how they should advertise their products and market their products based on the trends that they are finding worldwide. Now, in this report on world attitudes of religion, they ask six questions, sampling size over 17,000, accuracy of plus or minus 3%. Very quickly, here are the questions and here are the answers. My religion defines me as a person. 35% agreed or strongly agreed. Second question, religion does more harm in the world than good. Well, 49% agreed or strongly agreed with that. A third question they ask is, I am completely comfortable being around people who have different religious beliefs than me. Well, believe it or not, 74% agreed with that. Four says, I lose respect for people when I find out that they are not religious. Only 15% said they lost. Of course, knowing what they think about religion overall, that wasn't hard to believe. Fifth question, religious people are better citizens. Actually, only 32% agree with that, but then it fits in with the rest of the answers. And the last question, religious practices are an important factor in the moral life of my country's citizens. And that, frankly, was split 50-50. People didn't really know whether a person's religion really impacted the morality of their country or not. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that should have raised a lot of questions. We don't want to confuse you, but I hope you answered those questions because when we come back in the next segment, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this and we're going to talk about the definition because how you define religion, how you define religious, and how you define spirituality does in fact make a difference, probably how you would answer this question. But again, this is the whole world what they're thinking, and it is a marked difference over what it was not that many years ago. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, special guest, David New. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these announcements.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
The general theme for today's program is this: when the world rejects religion, the latest research. Well, in the last segment, we set up this program by laying out the fact that Ipsos, the world's largest quote-unquote independent market research entity, just completed a survey over 17,000 people, plus or minus 3%. 23 countries were involved, and it was on the issue of religion. And there were a couple of very specific things that came out of that that we talked about in the last segment. Now, in a totally separate survey that was done here just in the United States by Pew, released just a month ago, they asked similar questions, which I find interesting because they're in the same family of questions, but they were not at all related. And those questions that were asked to that segment of people here in the United States was, do you define yourself as religious? And then the secondary question was, do you define yourself as spiritual? Now, again, that survey didn't define the terms either. So in this segment, we're going to define these terms, because if you're listening right now, you probably are thinking the same thing. Well, I don't know for sure how I may answer that question, depending, and so we're going to go into that. But David, before we get actually into the definitional part of this and clarifying, I know you've read this global survey on religion, and I'd like to just ask you a general overarching question. As you reviewed that survey, and when we look at some of those responses that would say that the world would be better off without religion, effectively 50% said it would be, let me ask your broad overall view of how this report actually struck you, and what question and or response perhaps was most astounding to you as a constitutional attorney, biblical scholar, and just basically somebody who's up on changing cultural trends. What stood out to you?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have a free copy of the report, go to Google and in the search engine, put these words in, please. Global views on religion. That's all you need to put. Global views on religion. And if you just scroll down at some point, you'll see something from IPSOS, IPOS, and it'll be a PDF document, and you can download it for free and use it in church or wherever you'd like. Well, some of the things that were the most fascinating things is the question, religious people are better citizens. In the United States, that was 45% that said yes to that. In Great Britain, our closest ally, or the mother country, 22%. Germany, 17%. France, 16% in France. Now, this is fascinating. We are more like Russia than these other three countries, because in Russia, the answer is 44%.
Interesting, isn't it, David?
Yes, very interesting.
Well, I think we're going to get a little bit more of that, because when you do look at those countries, that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to go there to that site and actually try to download it, because it's not a difficult read. Sometimes research is very difficult to interpret, but we're trying to do some of that to help you here today. Let me go back to you now, Gary. At the beginning of today's program, I asked you and David if you would agree that your religion defines you. Now, David said yes. You hesitated and said, well, depends, but you also said yes. I asked you about spiritual. You and David both said yes, you are a spiritual person. You define yourself as spiritual, and you also said you would define yourself as religious. Now, you did what I expected you to do. I asked you to answer the question straight up, and you just wouldn't do it, Gary, because...
I was restrained, brother.
because you were trying to answer the question totally honestly, and you know more, fortunately, than most people do. But what was it that gave you uneasiness in answering that question, and why did you try to give some pause and say, well, it depends? Explain your thinking on that.
Well, it certainly goes back to one's worldview. I mean, you know, here at the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap, we talk about the biblical worldview, simply speaking, looking at everything through the eyes of the Word of God, through the Scriptures. And yet, out in the world, the word religion, religious, and spiritual are used in a completely different way than what the biblical connotation would be. Hmm. You know, the very basic definition of religion is an order or a system of beliefs. Now, of course, it can be expanded, and it is expanded when you continue to see what that word means. But an order or a system of beliefs really doesn't say much, but in that definition, or according to that definition, everybody in the world would be religious because everybody in the world has a system or an order or a set of beliefs. However, when we turn to the Scripture, we find that it tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 27 that pure religion has to do with visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keeping oneself unspotted and separated from the world. However, the world does not use the word religion in those terms. Then, of course, you've got the word spiritual. Spiritual means a whole lot of different things to a lot of people. And, you know, it can mean the occult. It can be,
right.
It can mean that one is involved in a Far Eastern religion type of a thing. Hmm. And yet the Bible would define spiritual in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, as one who is saved, has a relationship with God through Christ, and is growing spiritually. So that, Sam, is why I was having a hard time answering that question, because there's a lot of religious people in the world today, but they're lost. They're not truly born again.
Gary, frankly, I would have done the same thing that you did. We say in this program, you got to define the terms. Define the terms always. That's what the media will lead you into, lots of conclusions that are false. False prophets will, I mean, there's a whole kind of thing. Define the terms. And I'll just put one thing out there, Gary, and I'm glad you said it. You went right directly to world view. The definition, ladies and gentlemen, that you would assign to religion, to spiritual, to religious, will in fact be most directly impacted by your world view. If your worldview is biblical-centered, Judeo-Christian-centered, Jesus-Christ-centered, Bible-centered, you're going to go down the road of what Gary just said. If you do not have Jesus Christ in the center and do not have a biblical worldview, which we know the bulk of the world does not, I mean like 92% of the world does not, then you have the kinds of questions, the answers that are put up here. Now, I'll just put one thing, and I want to go back to you, David. From Webster's Dictionary of 1829, the definition of religion says this: it's a set of belief in the being and perfections of God, in the revelation of his will to man, in man's obligation to obey his commands, in a state of reward and punishment, man's accountableness to God, and so forth. That is the definition of religion at the beginning of our country. But I Googled on my iPhone. I asked Siri on my iPhone, please give me the definition of religion. And you know what
I got?
Now
you're in trouble.
But this is the world, Gary and Dave. This is how the world answers it. The definition was a set of beliefs in relationship to God or gods, small g, plural.
That's what she told me, too. I did the same thing, Sam, so we're thinking
all right.
About it.
And see, this is worldview. Now, Dave, I want to go to you. Let's set it up here. At the founding of our country, U.S. Constitution, we have a First Amendment that deals with religious liberty and freedom. How was it that our founders defined it? And we're going to talk in the next segment about whether or not our freedom is being at risk. But I just want you to go here. How did our founders define religion, and how did they pursue, and why did they set up the First Amendment in the first place? Was it for gods of little g, or was it for God as Webster perhaps defined it in 1829?
Well, the First Amendment has 45 words, and the word religion is nowhere defined in it, and it's generally not defined by courts, period. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want a definition of the word religion that was very contemporary with the First Amendment was written in 1789 and was ratified in 1791. But in 1776, the state of Virginia passed a Virginia Declaration of Rights. If you go to Section 16, which was written by George Mason with some modifications of James Madison, they give you a definition of religion. And I'll read it to you because it's very brief and very good. It says that religion, comma, or the duty which we owe to our Creator. And that's, I could stop right there. And, of course, they're talking about the Christian Creator, because later on in Section 16, it says that we as Virginians should practice Christian forbearance. That's in the Virginia Constitution to this day. The word Christian does appear, well, in the Virginia Declaration of Rights anyway, it does appear in their legal documents. So that is a good definition, I think, and it's very contemporary, and you'll see that definition used by other states as well. I would recommend that definition. As to why the First Amendment is set up the way it is, the reason why it has so little to say about it is not because they were a bunch of atheists or agnostics. The reason why there's only 16 amendments in it is the federal government wasn't supposed to be involved with religion at all. That's the real reason.
There we go.
The state constitution has over 100 words about religious freedom. The First Amendment has only 16.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. What basically David is saying was there was a unified interpretation and definition of religion, and it had everything to do with the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, God, and all related to that. We've shifted to that. Now it means many gods, small g.
Yeah.
That's the heart of the discussion. When we come back, we're going to talk about, in light of this change, are we at risk of losing our religious liberty here in America?
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, if you're just joining us, perhaps in the middle of your lunch break for those on the East Coast, we thank you for being with us. Our theme today on Stand in the Gap Today is When the World Rejects Religion, the Latest Research. And we are making this discussion today off of a recent survey by Ipsos, the world's largest independent marketing advertising trend cultural researcher, put it in that perspective. French-based company, but their research has tended to be used perhaps more than any other in branding, marketing, and advertising of products worldwide. And so what they end up putting forth, if it wasn't directing marketing and advertising beforehand, it ends up finding its way there. And this recent survey, just released October 11th, is on the matter of worldview on religion. Over 17,000 participants, plus or minus 3% accurate, 23 different countries. So if you're just joining us, that's what we're talking about. And we're going to talk about in this segment about whether or not religious liberty in this country is at risk, or even broaden it around the world, is at risk of being lost based on what we are finding. And with that, I just want to interject right here. If you are listening, you haven't downloaded our app, our free app, please do so. You will find that it is extraordinarily convenient. People are doing it all across the country, giving them the ability to listen live or to listen delayed to this program. And all everything is in archives right there, and you can communicate with us. Please do. And if any of these programs generate a question in your mind or a comment, go there or go online at standinthegapradio.com. Pose that question. Give it to us, and we will respond to it on this program. We want that to happen, and it's great to talk with so many of you live when we're out and about, but put something in writing to us. Let us know what you're thinking and questions that you may have, and we will respond to that. Well, Gary and Dave, the theme of this segment is, and it ties back into the question, one of the questions asked in the Ipsos survey, and that was this: would this world be a better place without religion? That prompts me to ask, well, based on the comments of over 49% of the people who said it would be, are we really at risk of losing something very precious in this country and around the world? According to the survey, 49% of all the peoples around the world, led by these countries. Now listen to this. Belgium, 68%. Germany and Spain and Australia, also 68%. They're all in a glop together. 63%, India, Sweden, Great Britain, 62%. And then Turkey and the United States, believe it, Turkey and the United States, near the bottom at 39%. Those countries don't believe that religion does more harm than good. But according to a separate Pew Research poll from September 6, 27% of all Americans, 27%, so that means 1 in 4 plus, of all Americans claim to be spiritual but not religious. And I think it establishes a clear case that at best there's confusion as to what is meant by religious and spiritual. But even worse, I project that these separate reports indicate that the world, including here in the United States, are ready to jettison people who are truly biblically religious and therefore certainly see no reason to defend religious liberty as we've come to note it. And if you were to put Christian in here, those who find that religion is negative, I'm not quite sure, I'm putting it myself, but I don't hardly think that they would find that living true Christianity perhaps is something that they want either when you look at these countries. Dave, let me start with you. Is religious freedom around the world and right here in the United States in jeopardy of being lost? Tell us how, if you believe that it is, and how it fits in with some of these things we're finding in this research.
As you can see, some of these countries, European countries, have had very high numbers of thinking that religion is bad. And it is starting to be reflected in their laws. In France, the French legislature passed a law that prohibits Muslim women from wearing traditional Muslim dress, which, you know, parts of it involves covering their face and so forth and so forth. Now, they do this for cultural as well as religious reasons. They appealed their case from what the French government was doing because they were going to be fined. They appealed their, they passed their grievance on to the European Court of Human Rights, and the European Court of Human Rights said that the French government can do it. This is absolutely absurd. This shows an intolerance for religion. I'm not a Muslim. I don't believe in the Muslim faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. But if a Muslim woman wants to wear that, that's fine with me. I don't believe the government should fine her. In Canada, if you preach against homosexuality, you can be hauled into a court and find yourself in legal trouble in that government. And, of course, they have a very low threshold for religious freedom. It's going to come to the United States. I hope it doesn't, but it looks like it might because we have a growing secular community that is becoming very intolerant.
Gary, when I cited some of those, the leading countries that I cited earlier, Belgium through Europe, Australia, Canada, those were the countries from which the people said religion does more harm than it does good. Gary, draw the connection there, if you could, because Europe and Canada and Australia at one point was heavily influenced. I mean, we're just talking, we're on the 500th year of the Reformation. There were big changes that went across Europe and Britain, but now there's a complete change. How did they get there, Gary, and how does that happen to a culture and to a nation?
It's very interesting to note, Sam, that here in the United States of America, we can trace a lot of our spiritual and biblical heritage back to Europe. But having said that, let me try to put it into perspective. Historically, those nations that you mentioned, when we go back 500 plus years, put a greater emphasis on the church and on religion than they did the Bible and the truth of God. Yeah. Now, the result of that is, number one, it led to great heresy, but it also led to the Reformation. However, those who were not a part of the Reformation, which was the big majority of them, they continued to go the way of heresy and went very, very secular in their religious belief, rather than according to biblical truth. And so consequently, as a result of the fact they put more emphasis on the church and religion than they did on the Bible and God, they got further and further away from biblical truth. They got hardened as it related to their relationship with God, and consequently, secularism drew out of that rather than spiritual truth.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we talk a lot about, again, biblical worldview. Gary didn't use that word right there, but that's exactly what he was describing. Biblical worldview as, again, definition, Webster's Dictionary, 1829. That's really where the foundational definitions were agreed upon at the beginning of our country, where it talked about religion, belief in a being and perfections of God in the revelation of his will to man, man's obligation to obey his commands in a state of reward and punishment, man's accountability to God. All right, Gary, I find it interesting that it went right to God, our accountability to him, man's obligation to his commands. Didn't say anything about the church or any organization that would, in many people's minds, be the epitome of religion. Religion, Gary, I've always believed to be man's attempt to get to God.
Oh, yes.
Jesus Christ is God's way of getting to man. Expand upon that a little bit, because really there's a major change. One leads us to heaven, one leads us to hell.
The Bible says that, you know, and all you need to do is to go to Matthew chapter 5, is it? Matthew chapter 7, I guess, is where it is, where the Lord Jesus said that there will come a time when people will stand before the Lord and say, God, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name. And what is he going to say? He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That would describe those who were religious, but they were not truly born again. And so, you know, there are many people today who are religious because they hold to a certain order of beliefs, and they follow the tradition of those beliefs, but they don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very serious condition for many people to be in today.
It certainly is. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you are catching this. This survey, very critical information. The question is, how are you defining religion and spirituality and religiosity? Is it really found in the person of Jesus Christ, or is it in the church or some actions or works that are being done? Makes all the difference in the end. David New, you're listening to this conversation here. Any comments that you may have relative to a culture moving from a position of knowing who God is? Our country, we knew who God was, but we're shifting too. Not quite as far as Europe at this point, but we're moving fast.
Absolutely. We're 39% of those people. We're on number 39 who say religion does more harm than good. But guess what? Who beats us that has more toleration for religion? The Russians. They're 36%. And the fascinating thing, when Europe, Christianity is practically dead. When Europe wrote their constitution, the Pope of Rome complained about it. He said, you said nothing about God, and they told him to get lost.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, effectively, just as the president said, he spoke to Value Voters some days ago, he said, in America, we worship God, not government.
Right.
I ask you, who do you really worship? God or government or man or something else? That's really at the heart of this. And these kind of surveys do no good unless we personally apply them to us. And so the question is, who do you worship today? The church? Or Jesus Christ? Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about religion and the end days.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
As we enter now our concluding segment here on Stand in the Gap Today, on this theme, which we established at the beginning, when the world rejects religion. And then we're talking about the latest research, actually a lot of it from Ipsos, the world's largest researcher, but with a goal of actually moving towards setting the trends for marketing and advertising and branding. So it's very significant in their findings. And then as we looked at a bit of a Pew research that went was unrelated, but timing was about the same. Talking about religion and then religious and then spiritual. In this last segment, I want to wrap this up. We've already touched on it a bit, but it's on the concept of religion and connected to what the Bible says about the end days. We've already been discussing through here that there's a huge difference depending upon your worldview, how you define religion, how you define God, how you define spirituality and religious. Absolutely, all of those things. Dave, I want to go to you because the Bible does speak about true religion, true spirituality, and what it means to be truly religious, not religious like the Pharisees of old during Christ's time, or we know that there's false religions, we know that there's false prophets, the Bible speaks about that in the end day, but talk just a little bit about those marks that will be there in the end days when it comes to this matter of religion and spirituality, and again, all of this that our listeners who are listening can look within and think through, help to analyze what we are seeing happening in this culture today.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want a free copy of the survey that we have been talking about for the last hour, go to your search engine and put in Global Views on Religion. You'll get a free copy, PDF. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what happens when you reject God? What does man replace it with? And very frequently, if the Bible is correct, what's going to be replaced with it is the occult. When you reject the God of heaven, many people will go towards the occult, and that is prophesied in the book of Revelation in chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. What is the occult? I wish I could remember the person who gave me this definition, because it's the best definition I've ever heard. The occult and the occultist are people who want the power of God without God. And that's what's going on in the book of Revelation. And so when these people reject God, something is going to fill that spiritual vacuum in that soul and spirit. And it means that if you don't worship God, more than likely man will think himself to be God. And when that happens, man will be behaved like an animal, like the Nazis and like the communists. They will degenerate and they will start to behave like an animal. And that's the future if we don't get America straight.
David, your emphasis there, I think, was very, very clear. And I want to, before I go to Gary, to expand upon his commentary about what Christ told the disciples relative to the end days and whatever else he wants to say on this. I want to just go back to this matter of biblical worldview. Again, I've read a couple of times the definition of religion from the perspective of Webster's Dictionary from 1829. Now, again, biblical worldview has everything to do with our view of God. We either have a biblical worldview, a view of the world and that about us that's in agreement with God, and God's Word, or we have a substitute with anything other than that, and it is ultimately man-centered, which will move right into the embracing of a cult and anything that's evil. Now, again, I just focus one thing here. I went to Siri and I said, give me the current definition of religion. Hear it again. The belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal God. They did put it, could be a personal God or, in equivalent, gods, small G-O-D-S. Superhuman, small gods of any type. Gary, to me,
that's Revelation 13.
Gary, Dave, absolutely, it seems to me that is what it's speaking to. Gary, we know that as we're talking here, there are two broad groups. There are those who reject God flat out, but then there's an awful lot of people, particularly in our country, who say they are Christians. But we know from George Barna research, for instance, that of that segment that says they know who Jesus Christ is, they may even be going to church, that only about 6 to 10% of them actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They are really embracing the same kinds of philosophies we're talking about here today. Gary, put this together on how we can take this information, how pastors should take this information, how our listeners should take this information and do something with it in evaluating their lives.
Well, it all goes back to the idea of making certain that everybody has a relationship with the Lord. A personal relationship with the Lord. You know, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, he was writing to a church there, and he said, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And then back in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus, as I referred to in the last segment, said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Where does doing the will of God begin? Well, it begins by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, becoming born again, and then having a relationship with God through Christ. But Jesus went on and said in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Sam, that's speaking of religion and the religious people. Mm. They go through a system of religious activities, sometimes even in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, they've not yet done the will of God in that they have not yet been born again. And the result of that is sad, because Jesus says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, listen to this, I never knew you. Hmm. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are a lot of people in religion who are religious, who are taking the broad way to destruction. They are doing works, religious works, apart from Christ. They're not born again. So every pastor needs to make sure that when he delivers the Word of God, he clearly indicates what it is to have a relationship with God through Christ. And every person under the sound of our voice today must examine themselves to make sure they are more than religious, but to make sure that they are in the faith.
Amen, Gary and Dave. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen. Examine yourself. There is no change possible in America. There is no redemption for what we see in America until people come front and center with this issue we're talking about today. Starts at the house. It starts with those who say they're Christians, examine themselves, and then it goes outward from there. Critical if we're ever going to hope that things will change here. David New, let me go to you and ask you if you could close this program in prayer today, these things being in mind.
Yes, sir. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Dear Father, we pray for a spirit of unity in America, which is possible by returning to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today and investing your time here on Stand in the Gap today. On behalf of Gary Dahl, I'm Sam Rohr. And our special guest, David New, here today. Go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, to pick up this program again and listen to it in archive form. Download our app. Stand in the Gap Radio is what you need to do. Listen to it at your convenience. God bless you. We'll see you back tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.